and welcome to episode 133 of the Chase the Red Grape podcast. I'm Jen, here with David.
Hello.
And today we bring you the first of the month long Did You See This episodes, which we are really excited about because we love these Did You See These episodes. And it's really funny this week because we weren't ever aiming to have themes or specific subjects for a week. But it just so happens that the three things that we found to talk about this week all relate to supermarkets.
Yeah, it's just as it happens, it most likely won't happen again. But that's how it rolls this week. And that's the beauty of this. It's kind of slightly random. We don't know going into the week what stories are going to pop up. But this week they were all supermarket related.
Yeah, which is really quite, I think it's actually quite interesting and fascinating because there's stores and shops that no matter how much you would like to shop in tiny wee markets and individual stores, we all are somewhat dependent on supermarkets, and even more so I think nowadays because, you know, you often get like your petrol and things like that from supermarkets too. So
even just the daft stuff of, if you drive to the shops, the supermarkets will always have a car park, you know, whereas if you're driving into the centre of town, it can be difficult to park somewhere. So it's a convenience.
So we all have some sort of relationship with supermarkets, really.
Yeah.
And today are just three different subjects that we have kind of come across and want to talk about.
Exactly.
So the first one, let me set the scene here. We have obviously moved to England, and previously, before we lived in Australia, we lived in Scotland. And within Scotland, there are no regulations on Sunday trading. So on a Sunday in Scotland, the supermarkets can open whenever they want for as long as they want. So we have a lot of supermarkets where they're open 24 hours, including the supermarket in the hometown that I grew up in. You know, it's open 24 hours and great, fantastic. I didn't think much about it. But since moving to England, I was made aware that it's not, they don't have the same rules.
No.
Down here. And we looked into it because we were finding that whenever we wanted to, you know, it would be 8:30 in the morning and we wanted to go and get the Sunday papers, and we just thought, oh, we'll jump in the car and go to the supermarket, but it shut.
Yeah, or we got caught out once coming back from my mum and dad's on a Sunday, and it had already shut by the time we were wanting to pop in and pick up something.
I think it was just some milk we wanted
to get. Yeah, just something quick, you know.
So we had a look into it because we found that most of the supermarkets that are near to us were only open from 10 till 4 on a Sunday. And that to me is madness because, you know, I grew up in a place where the supermarkets could be open on a Sunday. Now, don't get me wrong, when I was little and the town I grew up in was a very little town, you know, they were only open for a couple of hours on a Sunday. But
they still were.
But nowadays, you know, they are open, if not 24 hours, they're open from at least 9 to 5 on a Sunday.
Yeah, you would think.
But in England, they follow the Sunday Trading Act. And this Trading Act is from 1994, which is only an act that they updated in 1994 from the one in 1950, which says that no store can trade on a Sunday.
Which is illegal.
Yeah.
Couldn't even open.
So in 1994, we're still working on rules that were set in 1994.
So 25 years ago.
Yeah, which state that those stores over 280 square metres can only trade for a maximum of 6 hours on a Sunday between the hours of 10 and 6 p.m.
Yeah, so you can choose when you open between those times, but it can't be for any more than 6 hours. And to put that into perspective, 280 square metres, I thought, even my science brain was like, that's fairly decent size. I looked it up. It's just a little bit bigger than a tennis court.
So, yeah, if your supermarket's a little bit bigger than a tennis court, they can't.
So that's why some of the, even the big brand supermarkets that are like tiny versions, like the Express or whatever, might be open because they're small enough. But they have to be quite small.
Yeah, and I reckon there's probably rules and regulations about, does it have to include like their storage and things like that into the size and things like that?
Yeah, yeah, so don't possibly. Know. Yeah.
So yeah, 6 hours on a Sunday max between the hours of 10 and 6, and there's nothing they can do about it. Now, for a consumer, I think it's madness because I want to be able to go to the shops on a Sunday. Now, bearing in mind, most of them are open between 10 and 4. So unless, you know, something works in with your timings that you can only go between 10 and 4, I think it's madness that there's this regulation in place that still seems so old-fashioned that they can't do beyond that.
Yeah.
But I think what else gets me is how much that will restrict employment.
Yeah.
Within the supermarkets. So up in Scotland, as I said, you can have 24-hour supermarkets, but you can also have, you know, just supermarkets that are open later, you know, yeah, maybe till 8 or 10.
Well, they can choose.
Yeah, they can choose. And they're open early if they want.
If they want.
And as a result of this, people can often get employment contracts that work the hours that suit them.
Yeah.
So whether that be night shifts or, you know, working a really early shift or a later shift that can fit in with their home life or just their preference. And I've heard people talk about, you know, the argument against being open all hours, you know, as being, well, you know, you're forcing people to work on a Sunday. But in my mind, you're actually, by only opening between 10 and 4, you're actually shortening a window of making it a lot harder to work within a 7-day flexible working week.
Yeah, and things are changing. We're not all working 9 to 5 Monday to Friday anymore. So why, if you want to work on a Sunday, why are you being impeded to do so? You know, there's a million reasons why someone might want to work on a Sunday that fits in with their schedule. You know, even just down to that typical supermarket employee of the student who is at school or college or university during the week, and that's prime, make some money time. And
At the weekend,
because they can't do it during the week and they have these very like few hour contracts. And then you're basically going, no, you can't do that. Obviously, it's not been taken away because it's actually always been the rule, but it's just kind of stuck.
Or you've got people with kids who, you know, want to be able to work at the weekend because it means that they've got childcare cover, whether that's their partner or other family members that can look after the kids at the weekend, but they can't look after the kids during the week.
Yeah.
So, I just think, and let's also add that Scotland do have a rule in place where workers can refuse to work on a Sunday.
Yeah, so they're not forced to work.
Yeah, so, I mean, It's madness that in this day and age of different faiths and religions within our country, you know, it still harps back to this Sunday being a very Christian day and in the Sabbath, you know, and it seems crazy that even in itself that someone can refuse to work a Sunday because it's against their religion or for whatever reason. I'm pretty sure they wouldn't allow members of other religious faiths to turn around and say, oh, I don't want to work a Friday or a Saturday, for example.
Yeah, there's nothing in the law that actually allows them to do that either. So
yeah. So, I mean, but once again, that's kind of by the by. The whole, just the, I feel like if someone who works in an office has the freedom now to be able to have flexible working, then why are we restricting people who work in supermarkets?
Yeah, it seems very old-fashioned. As we said, it's a 25-year-old law. When we were looking stuff up here, there was a poll in 2014, so 5 years ago, that said 70%+ of people didn't care anymore. And they tried to even put it through Parliament and they still said no. So it's like, well, hang on a minute. That's actually the people going, we would like this to change, and it's not. It just seems very old-fashioned and odd.
Yeah, and also a bit strange that obviously Scotland can have it in place where,
yeah,
you know, there are no regulations on Sunday trading. There is that rule in place which protects people if they don't want to work on a Sunday, but
yeah,
as a whole, they can do it. Why can't England do it?
And that's the thing. Just because, say, England changed the rules and you're allowed to be open 24/7, doesn't mean that they have to be.
No.
They can still choose to be. But what's really odd is these 24-hour supermarkets work up until midnight on a Saturday, stop, close for these few hours, open 10 till 4, stop, and then reopen on Sunday midnight on the dot. So it's just to get around the rules, because they want to be open.
Imagine if you're a night shift worker in a supermarket, how much that would be so frustrating.
Well, yeah, it's a half night shift almost, because somebody has to work up until midnight, but then you can't carry on until whatever, it would have been 6 in the morning or whatever. So you have this like really weird half, and as you said, like, that means you get half wages or however it works. Like, it's just less.
Mm.
And it's just odd and old-fashioned. And, I mean, it is what it is, but it just seems odd.
Yeah, really, really does. So, but I think that I don't think there's anything more we can add to that. And we'll see if things change in the future. But
yeah, it's just more of an observation that, hang on a minute, why are we still doing this?
Yeah. So our second subject today is something that no matter where you are in the world, I think you find that this is a problem in supermarkets, and that is single-use plastic. Specifically, single-use plastic when it comes to the fruit and veg grocery department. The supermarket that we decide to shop at, which is Tesco, if you live in the UK, there's no point in us hiding that fact.
No.
What I find odd about Tesco is that I always try and buy things loose because I don't want to buy things in plastic. But for a lot of items, I'm almost penalised for that because it's cheaper to buy things all packaged up than it is to buy them loose. And that kind of blows my mind.
Yeah.
So for a lot of the times, if you're buying things like bananas or apples or recently things like courgettes and sweet potatoes, you know, you either can't buy them.
Yeah, you don't have the
unwrapped
option.
Or, you know, you're almost penalized for wanting to buy them loose.
Yeah.
And this is definitely being brought up as an issue and a problem. And Tesco are like, oh, we're working on it, blah, 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 blah. You know, the usual. And, you know, what can you do more than we're working on it?
Yeah.
But a big issue is the fact that the fruit and veg that are wrapped in plastic will last longer on the shelf than ones that aren't.
Yeah, so if you take your example of a courgette, I'm kind of making up numbers here.
Oh, but that's a zucchini, by the way.
You know, something that's wrapped up might last a week on the shelf. Something that isn't might last 2 or 3 days. So although they have to pay for the packaging and all the rest, they've got more shelf life, so they're more likely to get their money back from that investment than these loose veggies that just kind of go off or whatever, go soft or whatever, very quickly. And even though they're cheaper to produce because they're not wrapped up, they don't sell them quickly enough. So it's that business versus, I don't know, ideology almost, that we want the fresh stuff, but we don't want the fresh stuff to be off.
Yeah, and you know, if we're all truthful to ourselves, you know, we don't want to buy the bananas that, you know, are so spotted and brown that, you know, they're going to last 2 days in your fruit bowl and then it's going to be completely inedible.
Yeah, when you see apples, when anybody sees apples that are loose and you go, right, I'm going to pick my 5 apples, nobody goes, oh, look at that really bruised one, I'm going to get that one.
Yeah.
They go, oh, I'll avoid that one. So that's what happens.
And, you know, I think with things like, I know that the supermarkets have said with things like lettuces in particular and salad greens, you know, they could go off within the day.
Yeah.
I mean, we have lived, we live near a greengrocer in Australia. It was an Asian grocer, and, you know, you would see the certain things that they would bring in every day that literally would last a day.
If that.
If that. And, you know, you could be really, you could be one of these people like, well, if they can make it work, why can't Tesco make it work? And the difference is they're not producing fruit and veg for the masses.
No, that's just one independent shop in one place. So they just needed to get just enough stuff to get to sell there. And even still, they didn't get it right sometimes. So you'd have stuff that sold out, or you would have stuff that went off too quick.
And I know that a lot, you know, a lot of the times Tesco don't have the loose produce. They're, you know, they're out of stock, or they just don't have it.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating when I've then to go and buy the stuff in the bags, and, you know, I then start to get a bit cynical, and I'm like, oh, are they deliberately trying to get me to buy the stuff in the bags? You know, did they deliberately not have anything? But, you know, I think the big debate here is when it comes to fruit and veg in supermarkets, we have the war on single-use plastic, but then we have the war on waste.
Yeah.
So if all these fruits and vegetables are turning very quickly if they're loose, then that's contributing to more food waste.
Yeah.
And, you know, and because it's fruit and vegetables, this is, we're not talking about food waste that can be easily transported to food banks and things like that. Because by the time they're transported to the food banks, they're inedible.
Yeah.
You know, so war on plastic, war on food waste. Which one is more relevant? Which one's more important? Which one do we fight?
And that example that we had in the greengrocers in Australia, like, I don't know if they handled their food waste particularly well. They might have just binned it. You know, it's not... So we just didn't see that, but it still could have easily have been this just big pile in the bins or taken away by the big truck and put somewhere else. I don't know. But yeah, there's no good. Either you've got a lot of plastic stuff or you've got a lot of stuff just going off. And it's just this sheer volume that we can't get our heads around.
And I think there are certain things where there's too much plastic. You know, I don't need something to be in a plastic tray, then wrapped in plastic. Yeah. You know, there's certain things where it's an excessive amount of plastic. It really is excessive. And I think that's where the supermarkets first need to really look at it.
Yeah.
But I think after really talking about this and talking about this whole war on single-use plastic versus war on waste and realizing that some things are wrapped for a specific reason to make them last longer. You know, I think for me, I'm still going to go into the supermarket and I'm still going to try and hunt out the things that are loose.
Yeah.
That I can just put into, you know, my trolley either without a bag, or I can bring some of my reusable bags with me and I can, you know, put the produce in there. So I'm still going to aim for that.
Yeah.
But if I have to buy something that happens to be in plastic, I'm not going to... I don't think I'm going to beat myself up as much.
No, and it's that better, best kind of logic. Yeah. And the other things that are changing, like, for example, here, Sainsbury's, which is another supermarket, they've now said, we're not even going to give you plastic bags to put your loose stuff in.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an issue, right? So you can buy loads of loose stuff, and then what do you see? You just see people get the plastic bag off the roller thing and just shove it all in there. And it's for things that don't even need a bag. I've seen people put ginger in there, and I'm like, that's like one of the toughest things in the world.
I've seen people
I've
seen people put like four bananas that are already attached together in a bag.
And they've already got a protective thing. Potatoes last forever. And you don't need to go into a bag. So at least like other supermarkets are going, okay, we're still working on our own packaging, but we're not going to allow you to add to it and add. Because although a lot of people are trying to do very well, there's a lot of people who really don't care. And that's fine. That's their own choices. But they're almost trying to kind of persuade people down one thing. So they'll provide you with these reusable bags, and they're like 30p. They're not very much. And we picked up a few for us because we've used them in the past and they're great. We'll put them in with our reusable bags and, you know.
Just like cotton bags.
Yeah.
But I think where I would like to see, the direction I'd like to see the supermarkets going into is them taking responsibility for the plastics they use. So making facilities, recycling facilities, where we can bring the plastics that they're making us buy back to the store for Tesco to be responsible for recycling it.
The issue we found with that, though, just to be slightly devil's advocate, is these super thin single-use plastics are useless for recycling because they degrade down to the next level, which is basically nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So Tesco could go, yeah, sure, we'll take all of your wrappers back, and they're never going to recycle them. If they do, they just get sludge.
But what I'm trying to say is, if Tesco were made responsible for them,
yeah,
I think that they would be like, well, we don't want all this waste back on our hands that we've got to pay to get rid of.
That's what I was about to say.
Because if suddenly the supermarkets are responsible for the single-use plastics that they're making us buy,
yeah,
and that was taking less pressure off our council-run recycling facilities, the council-run recycling facilities would be able to invest more money into other things.
Yeah.
And, you know, looking at different ways to recycle, because the supermarkets suddenly would be getting that plastic back and they would have to deal with that.
And that has happened in some occasions. Like, there's been people, it hasn't been the supermarkets doing it, but people have literally just turned up and gone, right, here's a load of stuff back that you produced. And some supermarkets, it might all be talk, I don't know, but they're saying they're going to look into kind of superfluous packaging, not so much that the plastic exists, but using, say, like the crisp packet equivalent. The crisp packet is this big, only half of it's full, so you're using twice as much than you need to. So maybe you just make the bag smaller.
Mm-hmm.
Automatically you've saved half the amount of stuff, things like that. Because yeah, as you say, if you were to bring that back to them and go, right, you get rid of it, then suddenly they're saving money, and it all comes down to money, unfortunately.
Yeah. Ah, money. Right, and finally, we're going back to good old Tesco here. So
people are going to be like, why the hell do you shop here? It could literally be any supermarket, I reckon.
Yeah.
All of these things could be related to it. We just happen to see these things where we were.
So Friday night, we were doing our weekly shop at Tesco.
Fun Friday night for us.
Yeah. And we went to the self-service checkout to put our shopping through. And in front of us was a young boy. Now, we were trying to age him. We reckon he was probably 13, but no more than 14. On a good day.
On a good day where he's got, like, you know, he's maybe wearing something quite smart to make himself look older.
Yeah. So no more than 14. And in front of us, he was buying one of these Monster energy drinks. The great big caffeine-filled, sugar-filled...
Oh, smell them a mile away as well.
Oh, like, just crazy. So he was buying one of these drinks, and I said to David, I was like, I didn't think they were allowed to buy them. You know, I didn't think they would be allowed. And lo and behold, it flagged up on his self-service screen, approval required. And I was like, oh, here we go. He's not going to be allowed to buy it. And
because there's an age restriction.
And the woman came over. She saw that approval was required. And she put it through. And allowed this boy, who was clearly no more than 14, to purchase this Monster energy drink. And out he went. And our jaws were kind of on the floor.
Yeah.
Because we really didn't think that they were allowed to.
But we were still a little hesitant because we were also like, maybe there's something that we don't know. Maybe we haven't heard this properly. We were away when it happened.
Like, yeah. Like, but there must be something because it popped up saying approval required.
Yeah.
You know, the sale didn't just go straight through. So anyway, we looked it up, and in general, children can buy these Monster energy drinks.
There's no law.
There's no law saying they can't. However, many of the major supermarkets in the United Kingdom took a volunteered a pledge not to sell these drinks to children under the age of 16. So
great, well done.
Tesco is one of these supermarkets who pledged not to sell Monster drinks to under 16. Now let's get this clear one more time. This boy was by no means anywhere near 16.
Yeah, oh yeah, nowhere. And I'm not even good with ages. And this kid was just like, he was a boy.
I would still describe him as a child. Yeah. Very much a child.
Yeah, there was no ifs or doubts about it.
So, what?
And even if there wasn't, as you pointed out, there are 25-year-olds that still get ID'd for booze. So that's 7 years later.
Well, they have a policy that says if you look under 25, we will ID you. So even though you can buy alcohol from the age of 18 in the UK.
Yeah.
If you look under 25 in a supermarket, they will ID you.
Yeah.
So if they do that for alcohol.
And they'll probably do the same for cigarettes and whatever.
And knives and things
knives
like that.
And all that.
What the hell is going on?
Yeah.
I mean, let's first address the facts. Like, there is no way on earth that you can say it is safe for kids to consume these drinks.
Yeah, there's been a million studies. Okay, there's no law, and the soft drink manufacturers will say they're all fine because there's no more caffeine than a cup of coffee. Why a 12-year-old would be drinking a cup of coffee, I don't know. But, you know, that's by the by. To a degree, I almost don't care what the research shows, although they're not good. The fact that these supermarkets have said, we are going to voluntarily, there's no law that says this, but we agree that this is bad for kids, so we're going to make a policy. Now, what happens is everybody goes, oh, good. The supermarkets have been really forward-thinking here, and they're protecting the little ones from the monster of monster. And we all kind of calm down after that, don't we? We all go, oh, finally, they're doing something. Great, yeah, brilliant. And then we just sit back and go, well, there's a policy there, it's fine.
So parents go, oh, well, at least I know that my kid won't be able to buy it from Tesco.
Yeah, my little cherub can't get it because they're not allowed to. And that's fine. I saw it on the news. There's a policy.
They can.
What's the point of a policy?
And, you know, I think, you know, as you said, yeah, okay, it doesn't have more caffeine than a cup of coffee. Probably a very strong cup of coffee. Probably like a Starbucks size, like venti, like...
Yeah, the equivalent size coffee. The cans are 500 mils. Yeah, the equivalent half a litre of coffee.
Yeah, and let's also bear in mind that the problem with these drinks is it's combining caffeine and sugar. Yeah. A shit ton of sugar. Like a lot of sugar.
But as I say, I almost don't mind about that. My issue here is not the product. It's the fact that there's a rule.
They volunteered.
And it's voluntary. They're not even having to do it. They decided to do it.
You know what the crazy thing is? This boy, his face said it all. He knew he was doing something he wasn't supposed to. He knew he was chancing his arm. Yeah. And he knew he'd be lucky to get through with this. And you could tell, because when she put that through and let him buy it, his shoulders just kind of dropped.
Never looked her in the eye once.
Nope.
But this is my scenario. So this kid wants to go buy a drink. He knows he's not technically allowed, but he's got his money in his pocket. He's got his drink in his hand. He'll chance it, right? So let's say he's only successful 1 in every 10 times. Those other 9 times, that person comes over and goes, nah, you're too little, bugger off. Oh well. Tries again at the next place down the road, maybe tries another day at another time. There's no threat to him at all. He just gets told to go away, right? Mm-hmm. So he's not going to get, you know, handcuffed to the railings and his parents dragged down to Tesco's. So there's little risk to him, right? So he just does whatever. But then the next level is, whose fault is this? Is this, like, the kid's always going to try. Like, there are always kids trying to do things that they shouldn't. that's life. So whose fault is it? Is it the person that was at that till that clicked the button? Was she not trained properly? Was it the supermarket's fault? Was it head office's fault for not training these people enough to know why they're doing it or whatever or what the rules are? Or if you're not sure, get a supervisor. Who knows? Were we at fault? Should we have turned around and gone, oh, what are you doing? Should we have gone to customer services and gone, oh, I've just witnessed this offence? Like, who knows? Should we write an angry letter?
In all honesty, if something flags up on that screen and says approval needed, purchaser must be over the age of 16. It was the woman at the till that did the wrong thing, because that boy was clearly not over 16.
Yeah, but then also moving on from that, what do you do? Because if you went to Tesco's and you said, we saw this happen, they'd go, well, that's clearly a breach of policy. And it's like, right, okay, so on this one occasion on Friday, we saw it happen. How often does it happen?
Yeah.
All of these, in this supermarket, all of these self-services have these little cameras so that you don't steal anything. And they face you and you can see it on your screen. They pick up your image as you're shopping. So in my head, every time someone has to do something restricted, you have an image of who that person is. Do they review that? Probably not. But it's this logic of, for me, where it really grinded me was this whole, like, we have a policy in place. Lovely. Do you do anything about it? You've written some words on a piece of paper.
Mm.
Now,
well,
what?
You know what?
Because that doesn't make anything happen.
I think if the question is, you know, what should we do about it?
Yeah.
Well, we talk about it on our podcast. We tag Tesco in the Instagram post.
Yeah.
And we go, we saw something on Friday night that we're not very happy with.
Actually, in fairness, listen to all of them, because you kind of get pulled into all of them here.
Yeah,
but
like,
mainly this one as well.
It's like, hello, Mr. Tesco, can you please open your store for longer on a Sunday? Well, actually, they've got no control over that. That's the law.
All right, okay. Well, fair enough. Can you lobby harder?
But single-use plastic and energy drinks, come on.
Yeah.
I tell you, just kind of ending on this, I really would love to hear what folks listening at home, like what the rules and regulations are where they are. So, you know,
for energy drinks specifically.
No, just for anything. So what are the opening hours for?
Oh, I see.
For your supermarkets, and how, you know, do you agree with that? Do you think that, you know, supermarkets should be closed on a Sunday?
Do you care?
Do you care at all? You know, what's
are
your...
you just used to it? Because we've moved, so it's new to us.
Yeah. What's the policy with your on single-use plastics? And what do you think about this whole war on single-use plastics versus the war on waste? You know, which one do you think is more prominent? And then energy drinks, you know, where do you stand with this whole energy drink issue? You know, is it something that you're finding it as prominent where you are? I know teachers are finding it real big issues with kids drinking them in school. You know, or maybe you do have a kid in your life who's trying to, you know, sneak them, or you're trying to explain to them why they are a good or bad thing. Or maybe you're a grown up who drinks them yourself and you enjoy them and you find a purpose for them. You know, I want to hear both sides of the perspective.
That was why I said you can smell them a mile away, because I'll be sitting in an office and I'll just be like, what is that? And they're like someone on the other side. But it's funny how things change, because I remember at school there was a kid that drank Red Bull. That was pretty much the only thing you could get of a similar nature. You know, Lucozade didn't really do like caffeine hits. But we all thought, he was like, oh yeah, I drink Red Bull. And everybody thought, like, whatever, like, you idiot. And he was surprised one day that he felt like he had heart palpitations. But anyway, it just wasn't cool. Whereas now it's a thing.
It's a brand.
You're standing with this in your hand, so you're rebellious and you're kind of cool. You know, especially now. It's probably worse now that it's against the rules.
Do you know what? I kind of think it's probably the new smoking within schools.
Mm.
Like, I think nowadays smoking is kind of like, yeah, why would you do that? That's like...
Although vaping is kind
that's
of...
That's crazy. But, you know, Monster is a brand.
Yeah.
It's seen to be cool. Monster sponsors all the kind of fun things that they like to do.
Yeah, even Red Bull, you know, that's not... Coke's bringing out something.
Yeah, well, Coke's already got an energy drink here, but it's being released in the States. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, we would love to hear kind of what your take is and all that. So if you've got an opinion, we want to hear it. because you're listening to ours, so why shouldn't we hear yours?
Exactly.
So you can email us at chasetheredgrape@outlook.com, or you can send us a DM on Instagram. Just head on over to Chase the Red Grape. Or if you want to share your opinion with the whole world, you can just comment on the post on Instagram that goes along with this episode, and you can tell us what you think there. We really want to know. And as always, if you've got any stories that you come across during the week that you would like us to talk about on the podcast or look into, then please just email them or DM them to us, and we will check them out. And we would love to talk about what you're finding out. Because yeah. I'm sure if we all collectively look, we can find some pretty good stuff.
Yeah, and it may not be all about supermarkets from here on in.
I promise next week won't be about supermarkets.
I bet we find so many supermarket stories.
I know.
Like, damn it.
We'll become obsessed.
just become all these things, like, just we'll just be those people that write strongly worded letters to supermarkets.
Yeah, we'll be those people that wear, like, I hate Tesco pin badges, but shop at Tesco.
Yeah. I don't like you, but you're just the nearest place to me. But you're inconvenient and damn it.
Oh dear, as per always, we just go that wee bit too far, don't we, David?
It's just a conversation.
Anyway, time for lunch.
Yay!
But we will speak to you all next week, and we will see you all for more fun chat and discussion. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.